And Father in heaven, you are worthy. You came and you lived and you died and resurrected, and one day will come back and redeem us to have us stand before your throne. And so we today, God, come to share the scripture and the word and point to the hope that comes in you. So bless the words that are spoken today, and that your spirit would work through them. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. This is the last Sunday of the church year. Now, some of you will say, there's a church year? Yes, there is. And the church year, New Year's Day in the church year, is next Sunday, Advent. So when Advent starts, the new church year begins. And then we go all the way around the year with different kinds of focuses, and then we come around to the Sunday after Thanksgiving. By the way, Thanksgiving is an American holiday. If you're not an American, you can celebrate it, but it's really ours. And then you come to the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and that is called Christ the King Sunday. And it's the last Sunday of the church year. So you're noticing in all of the music, you're going to notice in my message, that we're going to be talking about Christ as the King, Christ as the Sovereign Lord, Christ as the God who created all eternity. Now, at the end of the message, for you who like to know when is he actually done, because they're always saying, when will he stop? We're going to be at the end, you're going to start hearing Lance playing the organ. We're going to be coming back to this Revelation text. And Lance is going to start playing the organ in the background, and I'm going to start reading through some of the Revelation stuff. At one point, I am going to ask you to get really loud. And the way you're going to know to get really loud is the organ is going to get really loud. So, and he's going to play the bells. And so it's going to get, love those bells. And so it's going to get really loud, and I want you to be as loud or louder than that organ. Okay, so you're going to see it. The words will be all on screen. It's going to be uncomfortable, and isn't that great? This is what it says in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 20. Brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Through the curtain. You're going to hear me talking about the curtain a lot today. The curtain. The temple was divided into two rooms. The holiest place for all Jews, because the temple, it was believed that God was, that was his symbol of being present on earth. So when you look and you say, that's where God is present. And they would say, that was the temple. That's where God is present. Guess what God does? He sends his son Jesus. Jesus becomes the temple. He becomes our holy priest. So Jesus is the prophet who speaks truth, and Jesus is the priest who intervenes and intermediates for us. And then Jesus is prophet, priest, and he's the king. And guess what? After Jesus dies and resurrects and ascends into heaven, guess what he makes you? You and me as followers of Jesus. He says, you're the temple on earth now. You are, because God is present in you. You who are followers of Jesus, God is present in you. Here in Hebrews, we see the writer saying, brother, since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place. See, two rooms, the holy place and the most holy place. You could not enter into the most holy place. Nobody could enter into it but the high priest once a year. And that was on the festival. Anybody know the festival where you could enter into the most holy place? It's called Yom Kippur. It's called the Day of Atonement. In Judaism today, it's the most holy day of the Jewish year. Usually celebrated mid-September to early October. And that was the one day of the year where the high priest could go in to the most holy place. Now, here's the catch. Between the two rooms, you couldn't see it because it was divided by a huge, huge curtain. Josephus, the ancient church, he's not a Christian, but an ancient Jewish historian, said the curtain, get this, it was 30 feet high, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. Not 40, that would be really thick. But 4 inches thick. So think about that. It's 30 feet high, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. This room here, I'm going to guess, you know, up maybe above the cross, that might be 30 feet. Undoubtedly, somebody after worship will have done the measurement for me because they know geometry. But maybe 30 feet. The gym, you go into our gym down the hall, gyms are typically around 30 feet high. So if you look at that, 30 feet high, 30 feet wide, 4 inches thick. That's one big hunkin' curtain. That is one huge curtain. Now, we know about curtains, don't we? How many of you have a curtain in your house? How many have curtains in your house? Be proud. All right. Now, curtains serve different functions, and you know this. You all know this. You have a curtain in your home because you want privacy. You don't want everyone looking in the house, right? You got curtains. And then sometimes you have curtains because you just don't want light to penetrate into your bedroom and you're trying to sleep, so you get a heavy curtain. So you get that. Sometimes when you go to a theater production, they have the curtain closed because they don't want you to see the set, and the signal to the show starting is when the curtain opens and the curtain parts, and then the show begins. The curtain here in the holy place and the Holy of Holies, that dividing curtain, 4 inches thick, 30 feet wide, 30 feet high, that was a separation between man and God. You could not go through that curtain. You couldn't go through it. Only the high priest, who was the priest who intervened on behalf of the Israelites, on behalf of the Jews. Only that guy could go through. And he went through extensive preparation to walk through the curtain. They actually would put a rope around his ankles so when he would walk through the curtain to pray before God at the Ark of the Covenant, that for some reason, if God got annoyed with the high priest and struck him dead, they could pull the guy out. The curtain in the temple was the dividing wall between mankind and God. No one was allowed to enter into the presence of God. And that heavy curtain, that 4-inch wide curtain, was the true separation that took place. The true separation. I do believe this. I believe that each one of us has curtains of the heart. Curtains of the heart. We have that curtain drawn, closed, because we don't want anyone to look inside of us. We don't want anyone to really actually see what's in our heart. So we draw the curtain closed, and then we do everything we can to prevent people from getting close and actually seeing what's inside of you. The curtain is closed, and then we live in the secrecy of our heart. And we all do it on some level, some more extreme than others, but all of us have this curtain that is closed, and we can't get into the soul, so that you don't want other people to see what's actually going on inside of you. Sometimes that's because we feel guilt and shame from behaviors we've done in the past, even the present, so we keep the curtain closed. Sometimes we're scared that if we open the curtain, we're going to be rejected by the people around us, so keep the curtain closed, because then we're going to be safe. And I see it happening. I see it happen all the time. Everyone has a part of our lives where the curtain is closed, and we go, that's no one's business. We bury it deep. We draw the curtain tight. You know, a 4-inch thick curtain, that's pretty hard to pull apart. What if yours is a 6-inch curtain or an 8-inch curtain? What if it's a foot, a big, fat, thick one that no one can ever get inside of you to actually see what is going on in your own soul? And we let all that pain sit in our hearts, covered for fear that someone may see inside of the heart, and the secrets now become revealed. And those secrets, once they're revealed, what will people do with the secret? By the way, it's why we use deodorant. It keeps the reality of our smell away and gives a false impression that we all smell pretty good. And that's what we do with the curtain. We keep it closed. Now, how many of you have heard of Jerry West, basketball player? Can you raise your hand? Keep your hands up for a minute. Just keep your hands up. Debbie, where are you? Debbie's in the back. She chose that picture. Jerry, she did not know who Jerry West was. She goes, who is he? I go, oh, Debbie. Jerry West, for you who are with Debbie and you have no clue who Jerry West is, Jerry West was one of the finest NBA players that has ever lived. Tristan, you're but a child. Have you heard of Jerry West? He goes, it's the NBA logo. He's right. He is right. Well done. You're culturally literate. He played for the LA Lakers from 1960 to 1974. He was an outstanding guard and is considered one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history through 1996. Now, there have been other great players, but through the mid-90s, they did a study, and he was one of the great ones. In 1980, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Of course, he won an Olympic gold medal. His college, where he went to school, won the national NCAA championship. If you just Google his name, you'll find a huge list of accomplishments, and I'm going to tell you, they're pretty intimidating, because this was a man of outstanding athleticism. In 2011, West pulled back the curtain. He wrote an autobiography. Now, you have to understand, this was really provoking, because that face you see up there, that man was extraordinarily private, and nobody could ever get inside of his soul. He was this magnificent athlete, a man gifted with skill that goes beyond the ordinary, but he would never let anybody know what was really going on inside of his heart. His autobiography was titled this, West by West, My Charmed, Tormented Life. And there in this book, he began to disclose some things about his personal life. He was older. He was willing to take the risk. He was a great athlete, but not necessarily a good friend. Make sense? Great athlete, not necessarily a good friend. He acknowledged when he grew up that he had an abusive upbringing in West Virginia, and the result was a lifelong battle with depression, and it would immobilize him. It would polarize him. It stopped him from being the man he could become despite his accomplishments as an athlete. But he kept the curtain closed. No one actually knew what was going on inside of him. Imagine being married to him. I'm not kidding, folks. If we keep the curtain drawn, what kind of marriage is that? And we all can know marriages where you really can't quite figure out what's going on inside of the spouse. It's not easy to pull the curtain back. He took a substantial risk. Even, yes, all right, there's money involved. Yes, the guy got a huge amount of cash. Yes, he's extraordinarily wealthy. I mean, all the perks of our world, he's got all those things. And yet to be so disclosing, to actually open up what was going on in his soul, was a high risk for anyone, but certainly for him. Mother Teresa, who I'm hoping most of you have heard of, as well as Jerry West. Mother Teresa was a nun in India who was known for her servanthood and her sacrifice for the dying in India. She spent her life caring for the impoverished and the suffering. She was, as we would identify her, as a saint. When she died, they found some letters that she had written. And the letters revealed her ongoing emotional struggle with doubt and self-worth. We would never imagine such a thing. She kept that part of her life closed. I remember she called the president out for being pro-abortion. Did it publicly. She didn't care. She stood, I think, all of about 5 foot. And this sainted older woman just looked at the president and said, it's wrong. But inside of her was this extraordinary battle with doubt and a question about her own self-worth. She called it this, and the quote's going to be on the screen. She called it the intense dark night. The intense dark night. No one knew it. She didn't reveal it to anybody while she was alive. The curtain was drawn, and she was in a war of doubt and self-worth, no different than Jerry West was in this battle with serious depression, but the curtain was drawn, the intense dark night. I expect that there are those here today who understand exactly what I'm talking about. They know exactly what it means to have the battle of the intense dark night. It happens for all of us. It does. Matthew, in our reading notes, talks about this curtain. And he says this huge curtain, what happened when Jesus died, that the curtain tore from top to bottom. Remember, it's 30 feet wide, 30 feet long, 4 inches thick, and the curtain tore from the top down. It could not be torn by any human being. It was, one, it was too thick. It was too heavy. They talked about the weight of that curtain. If it was going to be by a person, it would have been torn from the bottom up. But the text is very clear. The curtain tore from the top down. The death of Jesus said that the earth quaked, the curtain tore. All that separated us from God, everything that separated us from God was now wide open. You and I, with all of our damaged stuff, all of our intense dark night stuff, because I've had those nights. I get those battles. I know what it means to be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. I get that. I've lived it. And to say that Jesus tore the curtain apart, that separation between us and God is now broken. So we are free by the blood and death and sacrifice of Jesus, that we now can approach God Himself. We can go into the presence of God. There is nothing stopping us from approaching the presence of God. Jesus, our Redeemer, stepped into the intense dark night and destroyed the darkness and filled it with light. And yes, that's worthy of an amen. An Irish monk wrote in the early 800s, which is kind of funny for you and I who are Irish, we can hold on to this. Ireland, when the Roman Empire fell, Ireland became the place of evangelism and kingdom growth in the Christian church. No one would have guessed such a thing. Remember St. Patrick, green beer? But St. Pat was one of the great saints, great evangelists of Ireland, among others. It became the hotbed of early growth of the church. Some years ago, we were in Germany, and our friends were near the Black Forest, and they took us for a drive to a church that was 600 years old, which, by the way, I think that's kind of cool. Isn't that cool? We're 60. Nothing. 60. This is 600 years old. Still an active, now it's a convent, but this church was still active. And it was filled, and 600 years ago, monks from Ireland came and established an evangelism outreach, a mission post to the Germanic tribes, the barbarians of the day, so that they would know Jesus. This is pretty profound stuff. In the 800s, there was a well-known Irish monk. His name was Sedulus Scotus. He wrote to the Holy Roman Emperor. His name was Charles III, but I prefer his other name. His other name was Charles the Fat. For all history, he's known as Charles the Fat. His fancy name, Charles III, but his you know, what people called him was Charles the Fat. This is what this guy wrote, Sedulus. This is what he wrote, the Emperor of the Roman Empire, Holy Roman Empire, who was out doing some things that were out of line what God called him to do. Now the earthly kingdom, because it's transitory and fleeting, never reveals the truth. He's saying this to the emperor. Listen, what you got, man, it's temporary. Because is Charles III dead? He is. And there is no Holy Roman Emperor anymore. But only some slight semblance of the truth and of the eternal kingdom. Only that kingdom is real, which endures forever. And what Sedulus Scotus was doing was pointing the Holy Roman Emperor, go look at Jesus. You have grabbed on to the temporal and you have forgotten the eternal. Go look at Jesus. You and I have a message of eternal significance. And that curtain is now open for all of us to see. Everyone can see. Revelation 5 points us to the day when we stand in the very presence of God. It's a wonderful vision that John has as he's in the island of Patmos as an old man, he begins to have this vision. God reveals to him an image of standing before the throne. It's a profound picture of our future. It's an extraordinary glimpse of language and words. It's rich and deep. He writes this, "And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or look inside." And then the text says this. What's so striking, when you read Revelation 5, go back and read it later. When you read it, it says, "And John in his vision begins to weep and weep." That, you know, that deep groaning, deep emotional thing that comes out of us at the most awful of times. And there, in that groaning, he weeps and he weeps because no one was found worthy. No one was found worthy to open the scrolls. Then one of the elders said to John, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. And he came, the Lion of Judah came and took the scroll." And then a song erupts across all the heavens, and all voices and all nationalities saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, Israeli, Palestinian, Arab and Jew, Muslim and Jew, Chinese and Japanese and North Korean. Every nation and every language will know the name of Jesus. Everyone will be called to Christ. No one is separated for the opportunity to hear the word of Jesus. And with your blood, you purchased men for God, for every tribe and language and people and nation." And then I looked. We're coming to our point, folks. We're coming. The next screen you see, you have to get really loud. "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbers upon thousands, and 10,000s upon 10,000s. They encircled the throne of the Lamb, and in a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who now sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and power forever and ever.'" Amen. Amen. My friends, no more curtains. No more curtains. The Lamb has come. The scroll is opened. And your names are written in the book of life. In Christ's name, amen. Would you please?